Here in London, where I am this week, everyone is talking about the election, which will happen on December 12th. Today, the opposition leader, Jeremy Corbyn, says that if his party wins, he'll try to negotiate a new Brexit deal with the EU and then give people a choice to take his deal or cancel Brexit. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says if he wins, he'll take it as a mandate to take the UK out of the EU with his deal. We wanted to see how some of this country's young people are thinking about all of this. So we went to King's College and met up with three students.
Oh, hi, I'm Atiyab Rashid.
Hi, I'm Katerina Fletcher.
Hi, I'm Melissa Gersinger.
Atiyab Rashid is vice president of the college's Liberal Democrat Society. He's 20. Katerina Fletcher is president of the college's Politics Society. She's 23. And 21-year-old Melissa Gersinger is president of the College Conservative Association. None of them could vote in the referendum in 2016, so I asked them how they would have voted 3 years ago.
I'd have voted to remain.
I'd have voted to remain.
The same.
Now, tell me about your politics now.
I'm with the Liberal Democrat Party.
I currently don't affiliate myself with any of the parties, but I'm leaning more towards Liberal Democrats as well.
I'm a member of the Conservative Party.
Conservative Party. But you say you would have voted to remain. Now, I know there are splits in the Conservative Party, but do you think that the Conservative Party represents you now?
I think it does, because I think it's still quite a broad church party. But today, if I was asked to vote, I'd vote Brexit, because if I was asked to vote in a confirmatory referendum, I'd vote Brexit.
Explain that to me. So you're for Remain, but you would actually vote to leave if there were another referendum. Why?
Well, because I feel like a confirmatory referendum wouldn't be... I don't think it's particularly democratic, and I think we as a country and as people of this country have a right to carry out what was voted for by the majority of people in this country in 2016.
Katherine, you disagree.
I definitely disagree because, yes, the majority of the people voted to leave, but it was by such a slim margin that almost half the population voted to stay. And a confirmatory referendum would then put a lot of the division and polarization to rest, especially if you did a two-tier referendum where you have like most of the where you have these different options in the first round of voting to then have the two most popular results then be voted on again, just to truly make sure that all the different options and people's voices are heard.
Atiyab?
Yeah, well, I definitely support the idea of a confirmatory referendum. I don't really think saying that because we voted one way in 2016, it's illegitimate for people to vote another way in 2019 or 2020. I'm not really sure I see the logic behind that.
Well, that's not really the logic there. The logic is that regardless of whether it was a slim majority, it was still a majority, and that's how democracy works.
But it's not like a general election where the result holds for 5 years. This is meant to be seen as something permanent, and as something permanent, I think it needs to be done more delicately.
So let me ask each of you, because you're not actually in Parliament and you don't have to make these decisions, but you've been clearly thinking about them, what would you do now about Brexit?
I mean, my party, the Liberal Democrats, advocate if we get a majority in government, we'd revoke Article 50 or, in other circumstances, back a second referendum, and I do think that's the way forward.
And you think that the country would unite behind that decision if that happened?
I think the important thing to remember is we're in such a mess that in order to get out of this, it was caused by a referendum and we need another referendum. Obviously, we'd have to get a very large majority in order to win a majority in Parliament, so I do think there would be a democratic basis for revoking Article 50 under a Lib Dem majority government.
Melissa, how would you get out of this situation?
Well, I don't think they're really... Well, first of all, I don't think it's right to frame it as a mess because everyone knew that the process of exiting the EU, an incredibly complicated legislative body, would be a mess. I don't think anyone was expecting for it to be a simple thing, but I think the only way forward now is a general election.
And then what happens?
Well, I think the Conservative Party will win.
And then?
They'll try to put forward the softest Brexit possible if everything goes to plan.
Okay, and Katherine, what would you do to deal with the situation of Brexit at this point?
I mean, personally, I'd love to see Article 50 revoked, but I do think that because this situation has caused so much division, that if we were to just revoke it, then it would do way more harm than good. So I do think that there should be a second referendum.
Let me ask each of you, how you think that Brexit will impact you personally, if and when it happens?
I mean, personally, obviously, it very much limits my ability to work and travel in the EU. It adds barriers to that. Obviously, there'll be a negative economic impact, not just in London, but even some of the most pro-leave areas. And so I think it'll have a large effect on everyone. We won't be able to spend as much on our NHS, on our public services as we'd like to. And I think that's a massive shame.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely the ability to go work and live in other EU countries. I feel that most acutely. And it's also why I was so sad that I couldn't vote on it, because this referendum actually affects my passport. It's not just something that stays within the national borders. So the idea that I now can't go travel and live anywhere in Europe if I wanted to within the EU is just slightly heartbreaking. And it makes me... Now I belong to a country that I didn't have a say in, and that has decided to become more of a closed nation rather than an open nation, and that's not something that I ideologically stand for.
Melissa, how would Brexit impact you personally, do you think?
I can't really tell how it will impact me personally, because undoubtedly there are going to be some short-term negative economic ramifications. But I think if you look at the whole problem more broadly, the reason people voted Brexit was because... They saw the negative economic impact that untethered globalization and technological advancement had produced on the whole of the country. And some people in this country obviously felt left behind. And who talks about their benefits?
Atiyab, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, well, I feel obviously... Globalization has had negative impact on some areas of the UK, but I don't think the way to fix that is pretend that, you know, globalization shouldn't have happened, that we can get away from it. I think that's a silly view to take. I think what we should do is have proper policies which not just, you know, which aren't just London centric, which help grow areas which have been slightly left behind. And, you know, it was the policies of Conservative governments under Thatcher which really, really led to the deprivation of many areas which now feel left behind. So I don't think it's exactly a great thing to say that, you know, pretend globalization never happened and then that will fix the problems in places like, you know, Grimsby or Hull.
I'm not anti-globalization. That's not what I said. But I think that it would be silly to pretend that, you know, most of the people that did vote Brexit are in these rural communities that don't feel like their views are being represented by the Remain hub in London.
Let's pretend like the Brexit referendum had never happened 3 years ago. What would you have hoped that your country was focused on over the last 3 years instead of spending every waking hour on Brexit?
Well, I think one of the things obviously is on everyone's mind is environmental policy. The Lib Dems want to, if we remain in the EU, work alongside the EU framework for making sure that we have a sustainable amount of climate change and working to mitigate the negative effects of that. But more than that, I think... I'd want Britain within the EU to play a bigger role in the international stage, along with people like Emmanuel Macron in France, and championing this sort of muscular liberal order, making sure that places like Russia and China aren't getting out of hand and aren't undermining, you know, the democratic ideals which make up the Western world. I think that's very important.
Catherine?
I have to agree with environment as well. The UK is one of the world's leading powers when it comes to wind energy, for example. I think that more needs to be invested in that. The Conservatives stopped subsidising the construction of onshore wind power in 2016. That definitely needs to be revoked. I think, for example, like public transport needs to be improved. That also needs to be subsidised.
Are you optimistic about the future for the UK?
Not really. It makes me very sad to be part of a country that would vote for something like this, and also whose politicians then, instead of trying to be conciliatory, become more populist, and they also just then further embed the division within the country.
Atiyab?
Yeah, I'd say I am actually quite positive in my views of the future of this country. I think Brexit has really exposed some of the issues we have in this country and has now given us a time to fix them. A lot of things I disagree with and I want to sort of change, like the first past the post system, implementing proportional representation, changing the House of Lords, and really changing Britain. I think we've been given this golden opportunity to do it, and that's why I am positive about Britain's future right now.
Melissa?
I think Atiyab is right. I don't feel like Brexit is necessarily as cataclysmic as it's framed to be. I think it was an inevitable event. It was inevitable that, you know, these tensions were going to come to the surface, and I'm sort of glad that we're in this in the midst of talking everything through and talking about where this country wants to be and the problems that are felt by ordinary working class people.
You know, it's interesting given the politics of now in the UK, which many people in this country are so disgusted with, that all of you are still interested in politics.
I mean, you can't just abandon the idea that, you know, of politics. I think politicians get a very bad rep, but at the end of the day, it's not politicians individually who create problems. It's the sort of aggregate. People have views and people disagree. And while it might not be, you know, this glorious revolutionary future where everything right will get implemented in the next parliament, it's a slow march of progress. And I very much back that vision. And I think that's what's important to take away from politics.
Yeah, for me, there's no alternative to being interested in politics, because if you're not interested in politics, that's akin to saying, I don't really care what happens to me. And that would be just a very miserable existence, to just go through life so passively as to not care when decisions are made that affect you so fundamentally.
Well, and I have to say, after listening to all of you, I'm optimistic about the future because you're all really smart and engaged. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
That is 23-year-old Katarina Fletcher, 20-year-old Atiyab Rashid, and 21-year-old Melissa Gersinga. They are students at King's College in London. And by the way, one voice you won't be hearing after today is that of John Bercow, the Speaker of the House of Commons, who is stepping down after 10 years as Speaker. So we'll close this segment with words he has said so well so many times and said to us in our studio over the summer.
Order! Order! The House must come to order.
And you're listening to Here and Now.